Last Monday evening, a well-known news program carried a feature about new hope in the long-suffering land of Haiti. In this poorest country in our hemisphere, violent crime had decreased, the government was more stable, tourism was becoming more a possibility, and other nations were beginning to eye possible investments in Haiti. It seemed as though after so many years of bitterness, Haiti's people had hope of enjoying the good wine. Then came Tuesday. Not only was the wine poured out, the jars were smashed. And in the hours after the earthquake, the stricken survivors in this mostly Catholic country prayed in the streets, struggled to make sense out of what had happened, and prayed more. Many wondered why God would punish them so much. An op-ed in the New York Times by an eyewitness said that a frequent message from preachers standing on boxes in the street tried to reassure people. It seems like the good Lord is hiding, but he's here, he's always here, they said. We have to wonder how many have been able to hold on to that comfort in the misery and horror of the following days. It seems really out of place to be talking about Jesus at a wedding celebration on such a week. Ironically, it seems it's at this wedding where, after the superabundance of the good wine which Jesus has just produced is discovered, we're told that the glory of God in him is revealed, not hidden, but revealed for the first time. His disciples believe in him. The contrast between the Christ revealed in that good wine and the hidden God of the Haitian people could hardly seem greater. But if the God of Jesus Christ is hidden to humble people of faith in Haiti, what is really responsible? That may sound like a dumb question in light of a magnitude 7 earthquake that's followed 4 hurricanes there in the last year or so. But the struggles of Haitian people go back many years, and we can see that they come from much more than natural disasters. As the nations race to bring aid to the stricken, we'll hear glowing reports of people working together, and we'll be asked to marvel once more at the great generosity of the American spirit. And it's true that this outpouring of help toward persons we don't know is a great trait of Americans, like wanting to give blessings out of knowing how we've been blessed. But we also shouldn't be allowed to ignore history. An earthquake so huge would bring terrible destruction to anywhere, any city. But the degree of devastation for Haitians is also directly related to poverty, weak and shoddy homes and public buildings, a poor infrastructure which makes getting aid into airport and seaport and across roads that much more difficult. Why is Haiti a place of such poverty? To say that there have been corrupt and inept governments or that people have largely given up on getting anywhere isn't adequate. The small island nation of Haiti was born in 1804 when West African slaves threw off their French masters. And this sent shockwaves to slaveholding America. Afraid that the same thing could happen here, so President Thomas Jefferson started a policy of trade embargoes and diplomatic non-recognition that were crippling and lasted into our Civil War in America. What Jefferson had said was, confine the pest to the island. That attitude that there was something evil, something wrong about Haiti, continued right up to the present. So, a TV media figure like so-called evangelist Pat Robertson, a spiritual Neanderthal, could speak of Haiti being punished for a pact with the devil. From 1915 to 1934, the U.S. occupied Haiti, often with brutal tactics. And later it mostly looked the other way during the cruel dictatorships of the Duvaliers for about three decades. After that, the U.S. seemed to support and then to undermine Haitian democracy when the first democratically elected president of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, was overthrown by a coup. The U.S. stopped thousands of Haitians fleeing at the sea and sent them right back into danger. In recent years, Haiti has seemed to be a nation surviving, if at all, only by virtue of thousands of aid groups working in that country. But much of the aid, and certainly much from our government, comes with a payback notice. But you didn't come here this morning for a lecture about Haitian history, and I'm sure that there are other perspectives and arguments to be made. But as in so many other places around the world, there is a story, deep and painful, behind the people's vulnerability to poverty and destruction. And more than nature is responsible for people believing that God is angry with them, or as in the streets of Haiti Tuesday night, that God is hiding from them. Other human beings are also responsible. From today's gospel, the story of the wedding at Cana, we learn much more than that Jesus was fun at weddings. The wine is an early sign of the abundance that Jesus gives where there has been scarcity. It is an early promise that those who believe in him will know the fullness of life. It offers an invitation to make a radically new start. There are church groups that have done wonderful work of many different kinds in Haiti. A report from our Presbyterian Church USA Center in Louisville said that our workers there are safe, with one having suffered serious injury. And of course, the earthquake and the aftermath opened a huge need and opportunity for days, weeks, and years to come to bear witness to the life that Jesus Christ wants for his people in Haiti. But as thousands of Haitians ask why God has hidden from them, even as we know Jesus came with the good wine of the true life, it doesn't feel like enough to focus just on the good news of generous relief efforts. It also feels very important to ask, how has the goodness of God been hidden from the Haitian people? By human beings who could have acted very differently over two centuries. So that this earthquake felt like the final awful exclamation point on a long sentence. It feels important not just for the sake of the Haitians or for better understanding or cleansing of our own souls. It's because there are so many people in this world living as the Haitians have had to live. So many whose lives are desperate and vulnerable to begin with, poor and certain to suffer the most in earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, disease, and famine. Do they rejoice in God or wonder why God so often seems to be angry or hiding? And who is responsible? It's an old and trite saying, maybe, but aren't we called and sent to be Christ's body in the world today? His hands and feet, his voice for others. So how can we be at work through mission, in public witness, to work for the day when God will be hidden from nobody and all people will come to enjoy the good wine? On this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, we acknowledge how easy it is to be discouraged that there can be a spread of justice and shalom for all people around this world. And I'm always remembering a quote from Dr. King. It's attributed to him, but in fact it came from a Unitarian minister, Theodore Parker, in 1853. So the full quote is this: I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eyes reach but little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by the experience of sight. I can divine it by conscience. And from what I see, I am sure it bends towards justice. How can we be at work through mission, in public witness, to work for the day when God will be hidden from nobody and all people will come to enjoy the good wine?